Hey, you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bama Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too, daily, National Talk Black. Now, the Albanese Labor government is investing $77.4 million to boost climate resilience and upgrade essential services in remote communities across the Torres Straits. They are investing $36.2 million over 5 years to help fund Stage 3 of the Torres Strait Seawalls program, which will provide additional engineering and seawall structures on five islands, Pumarama, Lama, Masik and Waraba, as well as Badu. Supporting Stage 7 of the Torres Strait Major Infrastructure Program with an investment of $41.2 million over 5 years for the construction and upgrading of infrastructure relating to wastewater, solid waste management and portable water supply in remote communities. Yeah, global climate is real, and we're going to talk now to Deadly Sister, and we're talking about the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Senator Mulindiri McCarthy. And a very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Yo, good morning to you, Trev, and all to your listeners right around the country. Great to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you. And before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Sure. So my mob are Yanyal Gadwa people, Borroloola in the Gulf of Carpentaria. So on the Northern Territory side of the Queensland border.
Yes.
Neighbours, neighbours. Queensland and NT border.
Yeah, neighbours. And my mob, the one year Gungalita mob there, where, yeah. That way, and connection there to our wild men up there. And,
yeah,
and
lots of families right through.
The families right through
all
there.
All the way through.
Yes.
Yep.
My sister, thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we are in caretaker mode. We are talking about the up-and-coming federal election. Labor is the hatchy word there as the Minister for Indigenous Australians. When we talk about big monies like so, it's a boost. Global climate is real. And our Torres Strait Islander brothers and sisters up there have been screaming out for this for a long time. As the ice melts, sea rises, and look, puts our people in vulnerable situations. So
that's
look,
right,
this
Trev.
Is not an expense. This is investment.
Mm.
So tell us about this investment where do we see ourselves coming down the track?
Well, it was really important to make the announcement this morning in Cairns. With the Torres Strait leaders, you know, we have so many people who live on the islands, and you mentioned the five islands in particular.
Yes.
The worries that islanders have in terms of the rising sea levels has been very real. We've had a couple of stages, Trev. We've had stage one and stage two of this program, where we've worked with the Queensland governments previously to keep building seawalls. This is the third stage of the project, where we want to complete the seawalls, but also the infrastructure to make sure water supply is good.
Yes.
On
and
the
we're talking about necessity here too.
Totally, totally. And you can see with the concerns around the rising sea levels, just hearing to some of the leaders this morning speaking about, you know, sacred areas like cemeteries being so impacted, and the devastation and despair that is occurring for families on the Torres Straits. It's very real. They've not only taken it to the Australian government, their concerns, you know, the United Nations is aware of it.
Yep.
When I visited in the Pacific, our Pacific brothers and sisters in Fiji and Vanuatu are all worried about the rising sea levels. So this investment is absolutely critical.
And it's Australian government's duty, you could say, to fulfil this, to make this right.
I think it's all governments. You know, I think we need to all recognise that this is a responsibility of federal, of state, of local. And, you know, we do have the Torres Strait Regional Authority. We had the regional councils. Like, we know that they see the importance of coming together. This has to be above politics. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult, though, if there is a view that climate change is not real. That's really difficult. And you talk to residents from the Torres Straits and they can tell you it's a lived experience. It's very real.
Well, we're talking about water hitting our islands above the so-called coastline of the islands, but we're talking about like the damage to the cemeteries up there, for example, and we're
That's
talking
right.
about ancestors, skeletal remains going out to sea.
Yeah, it's
this
really,
is real.
It's
this
really,
is real.
Really tragic, and the despair, and you know, it's really upsetting. But there's a deeper fear that this is not the end. You know, there's more to come. And so it's important that the federal government commits this investment, but we also need the Queensland government to join us on this. And the Christopher Lee government have yet to commit their side of the partnership on this. And I certainly hope after we've made our announcement today that they will come forward and publicly support this commitment to the Torres Straits.
Well, we're talking about people's lives, aren't we?
Absolutely.
You know, if we don't act, the forecast, if you look at it, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Absolutely.
And the water covers all the islands, no longer
That's
Torres
right,
Straits.
Trev. And, you know, where are people going to go?
Exactly.
So it is a very real threat.
And they are Australians.
Oh,
you know, hello, Torres Strait, and all my family up that way as well. Down the Isle of Mob, but you look at the five islands here, that's a start. But we're talking about, let's talk about the wall, for example, and I'm trying to paint the picture. If you can help paint the picture
degree.
I'm thinking, well, you're building walls like in the ocean or away from the islands or on the islands? Or?
My understanding would be it would be on the islands.
Yes.
And, you know, naturally that would come down to the people who receive the tender and the contractors and the design works. In my mind, though, I look at, say, for example, here on the Cairns Esplanade, you've got a pretty solid wall that goes right around the Cairns Esplanade.
Sure, and okay, that's
that,
the concept.
Yep. In my mind, is what I think of when I think of seawalls. But naturally, you know, we'll see.
Well, the engineers come to the table.
Exactly.
So, and they put in the so-called tender.
That's right. And they're going to have to look at each island and each location and
all
see what the challenges are. You know, some might be worse than others and they might need much more input in terms of infrastructure. So, again, all of that is the work that's ahead of us. And if it all goes well, we want to see it start by the end of the year.
Well, exactly, yeah. So we're talking about $77.4 million to boost climate resilience and upgrade essential services in remote communities across the Torres Straits. As you mentioned, $36.2 million over 5 years for Stage 3. And then we've got also supporting Stage 7 Torres Strait Island Infrastructure Program with an investment of $41.2 million.
Yes.
Big money, but as I said, not an expense. This is investment.
Absolute investment. We're also concerned. I mean, when I was the minister assisting in health, Indigenous health, I was rolling out renal dialysis chairs. And one of the areas that we want to see that happen is on Bardu Island.
Sure.
And again, you need good quality water for those renal dialysis machines. So this investment of $41.2 million will really assist around the water security, but also just what kind of water people have available to them.
Look, I say this, we, as First Nation people, we start to think, if them islands were inhabited by non-Indigenous Australians, wars would have been up like 50 years ago. You know, I mean, like, is this a black space? As our black people, we tend to look at that, you know? I don't want to bring race into it, but how do we look at it? I mean, a different factor. I mean, we're talking about even our beautiful community over at Yarrabah. They built a jetty over there, but it's a real stylized version of fishing jetty.
Well,
if
I
they would
have
extend
that
jetty and made it really deadly, and gave the money to invest in that, we could have been had tourism boats going over there and what have you, open up the market. I mean, it's a beautiful community,
Yarra.
You know what I mean? And we would just start to think if there was a non-Indigenous community, there'd be like A-class jetty over there with
it
big cruise liners dropping in, I would think, you know what I mean?
It was an incredible investment into that jetty, and I was just surprised at where they put it, the kind of jetty it was. It's difficult for people to just use with, you know, just their own boats,
exactly,
to be able to, you know, take their boats out for the weekend. I actually did write to the then Queensland government about that after I visited Yarrabah, just asking what, you know, what could they do here to make it more accessible for the locals.
Sure, exactly. But that's what we're thinking in regards to here we have Labor now putting money towards it. I'm hoping the Queensland government step forward and bring the money into the table and looking at the reason why they have to do it.
Absolutely.
In regard to, you know, respecting lives and respecting communities. As we mentioned, coming up to the federal election, the date has been given. So probably a message that there, especially to our mob, to be on the roll.
That's right, Trev. Just a call out to those listening across Australia, please, if you're not on the electoral roll, you can enrol now, but you have only until 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
The rolls will close.
Yes.
And that will make it difficult if you're not enrolled, if you wish to vote. It is compulsory to vote, so it's important that you do check that your name is on the roll. If you've moved addresses or moved houses or communities, you know, you might want to change that address as well. But again, these changes have to happen before tonight.
Well, exactly. And your one vote could get the right party over the line.
It could.
You know what I mean? So do your
bit. And the right candidate.
The right candidate, exactly, you know. So, I know running for Leichhardt, and which is Torres Strait Island platform there, the Matt Smith, ex-Taipans player, Labor candidate for Leichhardt.
He's a great candidate, and he's the one who actually pushed very hard for this investment in the Torres Straits, but also lots of other things. And just on that too, Trev, if people do want to go on the website, the best website to go on would be www.aec.gov.au. So that's the Australian Electoral Commission website, just to make sure your enrolments are up to date.
And we're talking about 5-10 minutes online.
Oh, yeah,
there it
that's
is.
It.
Over and
it's
done with.
It's as simple as,
you know.
Yep.
And your vote is very important. And we're talking about... Make your vote count. Well, we're talking about investment there, especially in Torres Strait. So all your ballers up there, or family here and on the Big Island, make sure that you're on the electoral roll, and it's till 8 o'clock tonight. So put your name and put your vote in, and we're talking about protecting your mob, protecting your communities in the Torres Strait. Have your say. There it is.
Yeah, thank you, your mob. Thank you, Trev.
True, Deli. Mulindiri, good yarning with you. Thank you very much for joining us, and enjoy the journey. There it is. Fight the good fight, and a big shout out. And,
always.
We'll yarning very soon in regard to the date again. The federal government date
The federal election's the 3rd of May.
Your
mob, please check again. If you're on the Australian Electoral Commission website, you'll start to see that polling booths will open after Easter.
After Easter.
So they'll start to open up around the country
there
for a couple
is.
Of weeks.
Have your vote, have your say.
Yes, and be safe wherever
you are.
Too
deadly.
Thank
Senator Mulindiri McCarthy, thank you very much. Minister for Indigenous Australians. We will talk soon, sister. All the best, eh?
Thank you.
Too deadly. There is a beautiful yarn there with Senator Mulindiri McCarthy, Minister for Indigenous Australians, yet the up-and-coming election. So make sure you're on the electoral roll. Do check it out. Go to the webpage, aec.gov.au, and put your name in. Make sure it's all right and have your say. But that's good news regarding the Australian Albanese Labor government investing $77.4 million to boost climate resilience and upgrade essential services in remote communities across the Torres Straits. I know all the uncles and aunties out there have been screaming out for this. It's very important. They need to act and protect the people up there and protect the community. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Too deadly. National Talk Black. Listen now.
National Talk Black.
Swallowed by the sea, holding barriers of rock sea walls, uncertain destiny. The keepers of their cultural ways, ancient knowledge of the sea,
protectors of their tribal land.
Not how it was before. Surging storms and mighty sea waves, they're crashing on the shore. The keepers of their cultural ways, ancient knowledge of the sea,
protectors of their tribal land.
The keepers of their cultural ways, ancient
ancient knowledge of the sea.
Protectors of their tribal land.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20, Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that, daily number 1-800-422-416. All right, now, Maori cricketers, we're talking Alf Newman and Darryl Smith, named in Australian Aboriginal squad. And we're going to have a yarn with those two deadly brothers. Got them on the line. Good morning, Darryl. Good morning, Alf. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Yourself?
Yep,
great,
well.
Trevor. How you been?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, Darryl, who your mob were you from, brother?
I'm an Annawan person. I'm from Armidale in northeast New South Wales. I've lived in Moree here for the last 20 years.
Okay, brother. And big shout out to your mob. Alf Newman, who your mob were you from, brother?
I'm Kamilaroi mob. All my family's from here. I've been living here for the past 50-odd years.
Yeah, local there, brother.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to both of you. I've both been named in the Australian Aboriginal squad. We're talking over 50s Australian cricket team. So tell us about your journey and tell us about what we need to do to embrace this space.
Oh, well, I've been playing for probably the past 30-odd years.
Mm.
Maybe a little bit longer. And, yeah, the journey has been a long one, but apart from that, it's enjoyable and I really enjoy it too.
Yeah, fantastic. That's you, Alf, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Darryl, what about you, brother? Tell us about background with your cricket.
My name is Alf. I started playing cricket when I was about 10 in Armidale and played all the way through to seniors and now still playing cricket.
Yes.
One of the things that's been great about when I come to Moree is that Alf and a few of the other boys were playing in a local Aboriginal team called the Roe Cricket Club.
Yes.
And played for them, and they were such a strong team. They won 5 competitions in a row in one period of time. So they were very, very strong and had a lot of players out of that club in the local representative team and won tournaments in that as well. But now as we're all getting older, we've decided to come back together and get the band back together and play veterans cricket.
Sound like the Blues Brothers.
It sounds like the Blues Brothers, isn't it? Sometimes we look like the Blues Brothers too.
Shut up.
But,
too deadly.
Into this veterans cricket again has been really good. You know, it keeps us active and keeps us in the sport.
Yeah.
Both myself and Alf are still playing in the local competition and get to play with my son as well. And Alf played with his son in games. So
good.
It's really great that's part of the process of the veterans cricket.
Fantastic. Now, with this Australian Aboriginal squad, you guys get to travel away and get to play?
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing time. We get to go to Mackay, obviously up in your territory up that way in northern Queensland.
Yep.
We get to play against the Australian 55s team and the New Zealand 55s side.
Okay.
So it's a tri-series that they're going to have there in Mackay from the 9th of April through to the 16th of April.
Yeah.
And we get to play each other twice and then have a final on the last day.
All right,
so,
fantastic.
It's going to be a great opportunity, but myself and Alf have also been playing in the New South Wales and country regional areas as well in the veterans cricket. So we've been doing that for the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
So when you look at cricket, we blackfellas are strong with the pigskin in regard to rugby league and AFL, but cricket's pretty up there too for us blackfellas, yes?
Yeah, it's coming back now, yeah.
Well, when you got the likes of Eddie Gilbert, you know, wasn't it he the deadly brother that bowled out Donald Bradman for Duck?
It is, and that shows our sort of how long we've been around. But
exactly.
Also shows, you know, some of the prejudices that we've had against our brothers and that playing in the cricket area.
Yeah.
You know, obviously somebody that skillful but didn't get to play too many games for Queensland or get selected or have the opportunity to get selected for Australia.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Is the Australian Cricket Association in support of this space?
Yeah, so there's Veterans Cricket Australia.
Yes.
And at the moment we're trying to get that and Cricket Australia, you know, in amalgamated or closer together to work together.
Mm.
They are coming into the space. Like Veterans Good. Cricket is one of the quickest growing areas of cricket along with women's cricket.
Yes.
So we need to make sure that Cricket Australia is also included in what we want to do because currently at the moment you pay your own way at the moment. Mm. So it would be good if Cricket Australia came along
and
helped us a bit of the way with their costs for this.
Yeah, exactly. And the old phrase, you can't be what you can't see. So when you look at our black brothers and making the Australian squad, you know, our young kids can look up and thinking, well, I can get there too, you know. And then we're talking about representation, mainstream cricket, having black fellas representing the Australian squad, bro.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like us mob, you know. We've got to work a little bit harder to get into them sort of mainstream sort of sports and that. But apart from, you know, we got the ability and the know-how to do it. So
it's not
all that hard.
Nah, exactly. Well, we're telling us black fellas, aren't we?
Well, we sure are, you know. as you said about with the leather ball and big skins, like Alsa, been a great footballer all his life as well. And he's mobbing Maurice, the town for the Maury Boomerangs. And Armadale with Narwhal as well.
Yeah.
Our mobs have been talented in sport all over the place. And
exactly.
Now we want to make sure we include cricket in there as well.
Well, exactly. And then we talk about how it helps society. You're not only our mob, but representation, you know, a pathway, a platform. When we talk about, for example, they put a lot of focus on our young black kids doing youth crime. Well, the old saying, idle time and idle hands, devil's playground. If we've got activities out there, and cricket could be another vehicle, getting our kids focused on their talent and their future and gives them a vision to looking up for a deadly future, my brothers.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know. Like you were saying, if you've got something to do, you won't go out and do that other sort of stuff everyone else is doing.
Exactly, yeah. Well, once again, my brothers, congratulations. So when do you travel to Mackay with the Australian Aboriginal squad?
We travel up to Mackay on the 9th
and
start playing on the 10th.
Okay.
So it's going to be great. Like, I'm trying to get some ideas of maybe some contacts of local fathers group or local groups in Mackay to actually come and join us and have a feed with us and meet with us as well. Because, as you said, you know, you can't be what you can't see. So
exactly.
If there are any local mobs up there that want to come and have a talk with us or come and watch us play, it'd be brilliant.
Well, fantastic. And this deadly program, National Talk Black, comes from Cairns. It goes via NERS, National News Radio Service, and Mackay 105 FM, Deadly Murray mob down there. They tune in, so they be listening. So all your Deadly Mackay mob, the Australian Aboriginal squad cricket side is coming your way. And look, it'd be great to reach out and let's massage this space and get things going. But Daryl Smith and Alf Newman, thank you very much, my brothers. All the best. Enjoy the journey. And hit those sixes, brothers.
Thank you, Trevor. It's been brilliant. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to have a talk with it. And, Alf's going to get up there and knock them around, that's for sure.
There you go. too dilly. And thanks for coming to the program. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep in touch. And all the best. We'll yarn soon, my brothers.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Go the mob. Too dilly. Beautiful yarn there. That's Daryl Smith and Alf Newman. And the two boys have been selected in the veterinarian side, the veteran side, that is. They're not veterinarians, they're veterans for the Australian Aboriginal squad cricket side. So look, fantastic, and performing there in Mackay, 9th of April. So there it is, 10th of April, I think the tournament starts. So Mackay Mob, 105 FM, big shout out. If you're listening in, yeah, reach out or go and support the Aboriginal Australian squad in the cricket side playing there in Mackay, I believe. They're playing against New Zealand. So there it is. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS and National Talk Black, 1 hour program, and good to be yarning with you, Mob. The ball you're on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, to Delhi.
Yeah.
National Talk Black.
Salasiakam, killing and pillaging, they don't give a damn. Burning the villagers in a demonic craze. Broadswords, knives, and their muskets ablaze. War, Salasiakam, listen to my drum. Salasiakam, Salasiakam, Piadra Meriam from Lasendam. Run to the south, Yabi Alam. An old man and his wife were hacked with a knife. Oh, Salasiakam, listen to my drum. Salasiakam, Salasiakam, Kometa Milram from Sebek to Kiam. Might get their bones lay exposed to bleach. In the sun, there's blood on the beach. War, Salasiakam, listen to my drum. Your past, you will make those same mistakes again. Your future's bright at last, but if you forget your past, you will make those same mistakes again. You lay buried on the shores of Werbadu. I hear your spirit cry like the call of the boo. You call to me, come listen to my drum. You call to me, come listen to my drum. My drum.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say, yarn up strong, National Talk Black, and talk up strong, you mob. Now, Queensland plans to build 2032 Olympic Stadium on significant Indigenous site. We are going to talk to Rosemary O'Hagan, and she's from Save Victoria Park Advocacy Group, and talk about this space and in regard to the green light and regarding saying yes to the Olympics coming up in 2032 and looking at building stadiums on the Victoria Park. We'd like to know, as a First Nation man, I'd like to know, First Nation radio station would like to know, First Nation people at the table, with the traditional owners included in that conversation. Well, we're going to talk to Rosemary O'Hagan about that. Got Rosemary on the phone. Good morning, Rosemary. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, we're talking about a significant Indigenous site. You're non-Indigenous, but you feel a passion in regard to Indigenous people. And by the sounds of it, First Nation people were not at the table when the decision was made by the Queensland government to say yes for the 2032 Olympics stadium to be built at Victoria Park.
Yeah, it doesn't appear so. I mean, I'm not privy to all the conversations, but from whoever I've spoken with, it doesn't appear that that was the case.
Sure.
Within the context of the park, the park is really significant for First Nations because, and I've spoken to, you know, historians, and I've spoken to First Nations people in Brisbane, and it sits sort of like in the hills, sort of above the river, so further up.
Mm.
And it had hollows going through. Initially, it was sort of named York's Hollow. And it was basically, because of the hollows and the water and because of its height, it was this area that a lot of the First Nations people came to of different tribes, and they had corroborees there, and they traded. And because it was such a, you know, it was windy. It's called Barabin, which I understand means windy place. And I was told that the Indigenous community would go up there because it was windy. They would get the mosquitoes.
Yes.
So you know, you learn so much.
Sure.
And apparently, well, because of when the area was colonised, because it had the water holes, and the people started, the colonisers kept on coming in there. So there were some incursions and there were some deaths. And it has importance because the original First Nations camps were on those hills that still exist. And even though they filled in some of the water holes, there's still a water hole there of major significance.
Yes.
So it's, for us, we know that this history was acknowledged. They in 2019, the Mayor of Brisbane, Adrian Triner, decided because the northern part had been this golf course since 1931, and they decided to give that golf course back to the people to be a park. Mm. And a part of the master planning process that went over for this event for 4 years, we know the First Nations people were brought to the table and included in that planning process, as was a First Nations consultancy firm.
Sure. So, and when you look at the last election, we have the Queensland Premier, who's elected, Premier David Crisafulli, in his election campaign, he said he wasn't going to touch Victoria Park. So he's reneged on that.
That's right. And I spoke to his office in the lead-up to the election, because when we thought about the promise, no new stadiums, well, really, what did that mean? That meant that you were going to have a policy of using the Gabba. But he never said we're using the Gabba. He said no new stadiums. So it was like, well, the policy didn't make sense to us. We rang up his office. We communicated that we were very, very concerned. They said to me emphatically that, no, they weren't touching Victoria Park.
Mm.
It wasn't happening. But then Brisbane's a bit of a village, and you hear information flowing back to you.
Chinese whisper.
And it was deeply concerning.
Mm.
And we did everything we could as a small community group to try to make people aware of this issue. And it's very difficult for us to speak on behalf of First Nations, but we did.
So your group there, Rosemary, Save Victoria Park Advocacy Group, So who's involved in that? Is there traditional owners at the table with you guys?
Yeah, so basically with our group, we started back in 2019 when they were moving the golf course to the park, and we were just local residents. But because we knew that First Nations were being involved in that master planning process, pre-stadium even being anywhere on the radar, we didn't feel the need to, we didn't need to be, we knew they were being consulted.
Sure.
So it wasn't for us to sort of needing to reach out to advocate for them of those groups, because we knew that their voices were being heard. When it came to the stadium, I did reach out to a few different groups, and I got the understanding that they weren't being they weren't being really included in this discussion at all. And myself, I spoke on 4AAA radio down here.
Yes.
I went to meet with some of the Jagera community over at Musgrave Park. I've spoken to one of the elders in a nursing home down at Eagle Beach. So we've reached out, and every time we reach out, we're just hearing that there was nothing.
Crickets.
So, yeah. And it's upsetting for everyone involved. It's actually, people are feeling quite sick about this. It's particularly as a white middle-aged woman, it's given me a renewed understanding.
Sure.
Of
you're walking a mile in our moccasins, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, and I feel that pain, and that we've had, the positive from the negative as you meet some really wonderful people. I mean, when would I have had that experience in life to meet First Nations elders? Maybe not. And there was a wonderful girl. We had, during the last year, we've done awareness raising. We've had art events. We had this big human no that we formed, and a helicopter came over. And there was a beautiful girl, and she come down from Arnhem Land into Brisbane, and she said that she felt that park gave her that sense of country.
That's right. That's
that
right.
She needed
connection. Yeah. Connection. So, my dear Ed, regarding Victoria Park, you guys got a web page. How do people support you, or are you looking at? Can people donate, or?
Yes. Look, what we're doing is we're going down the legal route at the moment.
Yes. Okay.
We're going down that. If people could like and follow our page, that's Save Victoria Park. It's on Facebook.
Okay.
It's on Instagram, and we have a website. If there's any capacity to donate to the legal cause, that'd be great. I know that it's difficult with the cost of living at the moment, but we are going down that path as well. We are doing everything we can to save this park. It is an amazing, beautiful space, and to lose it for a stadium is a travesty.
Yep, exactly. All right, well, sounds good. Thank you very much for the yarn. Please do keep in touch. The word is out there now, and a lot of First Nation people will probably support you in this facet, especially if there wasn't First Nation people at the table in regards to the Premier David Crisafulli making this decision and reneging on the decision in regard to the campaigning. Rosemary, thank you for the yarn. All the best. You take care. Keep in touch, and we'll yarn soon, hey?
Brilliant. Thanks, Trevor. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn there. Rosemary O'Hagan, her name is, from Save Victoria Park Advocacy Group. So do check them out online at savevictoriapark.com. Do check out their webpage. They're looking for support. I, as a First Nation man, would like to ask the question, was there First Nation people, especially traditional owners, at the table when the decision was made? Fantastic to have the Olympics in our state, in our big city, Brisbane. But First Nation people have got to be involved in that conversation. Here, there you go. Have your say. Yarn up strong. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. National Talk Black, your program. Yarn up strong, your mob. Too deadly. She gave for me
shut the bird, we will fly. Free up the bird, we will fly. We built a house now on the top of the mountain, away from the city life, so far away. I know she cared for me. She won't hold now forever. She run in the wild like the wind. I free out the bird, he will fly. Free out the bird, we will fly.